listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. How the heck are you, Miller and Moulton, on this Monday, the day after Mother's Day weekend? Thanks so much for being with us. Hope you had a great weekend. And thanks for starting your week off with us, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. How did your Mother's Day weekend go?
I took care of both my mother and my wife. I did what I was supposed to.
Good for you. Good man. Good eats?
Yeah, we went out and had a nice brunch and cooked a little dinner for them. So, yeah, I mean, I got a kitchen to clean yet, but other than that, we're good.
All right. That's not too bad. By the way, congratulations. You apparently went 2 for 2. With young Felipe and making dinner and brunch suggestions / reservations for so he'd look like a hero with his family, because let's face it, we had no faith that he would come through.
No, he wouldn't have.
No.
He would have failed miserably.
It would have been a tremendous disappointment. Felipe, congratulations on graduating college.
Yes, thank you. Congratulations.
It's a tremendous accomplishment. Well done.
Thank you.
Just one question.
Is it a tremendous accomplishment?
I will say, I believe he
graduated. It's an accomplishment.
I believe he graduated with honors, though.
Okay. No.
Wait a minute. You led us to believe that you had these amazing grades.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean honors.
Well, isn't honors 3.5 or above?
I don't know. Whatever. It's done. Who cares?
All right.
Who cares?
But remember last week at this time, you know, he was bushy-tailed and he had just all sorts of... garden shrubbery on his face.
Disheveled, to say the least.
Right. And so we browbeat him, and he goes and he, you know, gets the haircut, and he takes away most of the plant life that was on his face, the vegetation.
Right.
But he left...
the caterpillar.
And we said, dude, I appreciate the effort, but... caterpillar's not going to go over well. Just saying. If you're going to go 90%, you got to go 100.
Who saw it first and made the comment?
My mom, I think. But my grandma didn't like it. And as soon as she doesn't like it, then, you know, it's over.
And Felipe did say that. He said that was the scouting report. Grandparents were coming over. They were coming over early on Friday, and Grandma was ultimately going to be judge and jury. So, did it last till Friday night dinner?
No. Oh, no. No. You know, I got both my grandma and my mom flowers as well. I thought that would, you know.
Wait, so you got them flowers not for Mother's Day just to keep your mustache?
Yeah.
That's what you were?
Yeah, pretty much.
What a suck-up.
It didn't work either.
What a blatant suck-up. Well, that's how bad the caterpillar was. We tried to tell him.
Hopefully that never comes back again.
No,
and I'm afraid we'll have it back here in 3-4 weeks, because that's how long it takes to get to that level.
If I were you, I'd wait 5-7 years. I really would. I'd wait to your late 20s before you try it again. All right. And man, and make sure that the relationship you're in is really solid before you try it. That's just, you know, coming from a couple of old guys.
You know, it's a dadgum good point right there, because if you try to spring that in the middle of a relationship that's just...
Right, on the way up?
Right, that's percolating.
Oh, wait, man.
That'll cool that sucker off in seconds.
Right, you got to get to the point in which she's basically like, you know, I'm all in. I'm in on this guy, you know, no matter what he does. Okay, barring, you know.
I mean, it's almost got to be her idea when you're laying there one morning. Can you grow a mustache? Well, how about you try? All right, but you can't make fun of it.
Have those words ever been said by...
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I want you to grow a mustache.
Yes.
Usually what happens is that you don't shave for a little while, and they look at you and they go, you know, it doesn't look bad. And you go, really? And they go, yeah, I think you'd look okay in a mustache, goatee, beard, or whatever it is. And you go, oh, well, I wasn't trying to grow one, but what do you say? I'll give it a shot. Yeah, okay, let's run with that for a while.
Well, I can't grow facial hair.
Well, we know.
We know. That's why, you know, we're saying, you know, wait 5-7 years. you know.
Never know what could happen.
Right. Miller and Moulton on this Monday. Man, what a great little sports weekend.
With a historic 2 minutes.
80-1. 80-1. When we last did a show, the horse was not in the race.
Kurt Becker could not pick the horse to win the race because it was not in the race.
Correct. Correct.
Late scratch on Friday gets added to the race.
By like minutes, apparently. Like they asked the owner, I think it was, or the trainer, when did you know you were in the race? And he said about 30 seconds before the deadline. Yeah. 80-1.
And a magical run weaving through traffic to get to the back to the rail on the stretch.
What a great job by the jockey.
Oh, man.
I mean, he needed the one key that the C's needed the part for him to be able to. He was kind of blocked, and then they parted just enough where he could go, all right, I can take it from here.
But he made four moves before then.
Yeah. Well, when you're, I mean, for goodness sakes. I mean, he damn near started from the parking lot, for goodness sakes.
He did.
He was so far wide.
Crazy.
It is one of the few times with, you know, no real rooting interest, just watching to watch. It's the Kentucky Derby, after all. It's what we do in America. On the first Saturday in May, we watch a horse race for a couple of minutes. Out of my chair, yelling at the TV.
Yes, me too. And an expletive was flying out of my mouth. It was holy blank three times to my daughter, right to my direct right. And the race ended. I looked over at her. I said, sorry.
Happy eighth birthday.
You're eight now. You can handle it.
Honey, let me explain to you 80-1. Oh, man, that was exciting. That like made my weekend, no matter what happened from there. It was just inspiring. Makes you think about, is it like Daly winning the PGA, ninth alternate? Is this the boxer in a heavyweight championship fight and the fight gets scratched 48 hours beforehand, and they literally call some guy up and go, hey, you've been training. You're in shape. Why don't you come here and fight Tyson?
It's a 16 beating a 1. It really is.
Is it UMBC?
Well, I mean, because think about it. The two favorites are running down the home stretch neck and neck in what we think is going to be a great duel.
In the middle of the track.
Between the two horses that are expected to win the damn race.
Separated by a head. Right. Oh, yeah.
And here comes the mutt.
And we all saw him coming about two or three strides before the track announcer did. And so we all kind of are like rising out of our seat before the track announcer's voice begins to rise with us. It's like, holy, is this horse? No!
That's the 21, everyone.
I mean, the 21 number in a Kentucky Derby is like 97 in a spring training game, entering in the eighth inning to pinch run or what have you.
Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable.
Great stuff. I don't know if you saw it. I'm still looking for it because there are some people that actually put money on this horse.
Sure.
Well, because otherwise the odds would have been 8 million to 1. So there, people did put some money on this horse, but Twitter was asking, okay, you got to take a picture of the ticket. All right, now, we're not taking nobody's word on this. We need evidence. A friend of ours has a friend who threw $5 because the odds got so big, threw $5. So won $400.
Excellent.
All right. That's the only person that I know of.
And right? I didn't. I had $5.70 in my Twin Spires account. And I looked at my wife. I said, pick whichever name you like. and she likes smile happy.
Okay. That fits your wife.
Right.
It's her personality. Right. She's always smiling. She's usually happy. She's a very nice person.
That was our $5 down the drain.
That's
right. We did not rich strike.
Man, oh man. But that's what I would love to see. All right. If there is someone listening right now who won money on rich strike, can you produce the winning ticket? A picture of it. Have you already done so? That's what Twitter was looking for Saturday night.
Yeah, because this isn't betting secretariat at the Belmont in which you're going to get $2.10 back. You're right. Cashing this one, so you need to take the picture.
Darn right you are. You're darn right. But, man, that was fun.
There were like 12 horses ahead of him on the last turn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I thought when the track announcer says, and, you know, he doesn't do Dave Johnson down the stretch we come, but he said something along the lines of heading to the stretch, and I only counted 5 horses behind him that he had not yet maneuvered in front of the little offensive line that was in front of him. He still had to maneuver through that.
But what a ride. And, well, it produces quite the spectacle. Did you see the numbers for the exactas? Trifectas and the super at 5 digits to it?
I want to know, did anybody hit one of those? Because it's one thing to throw $5 on 80-1 just for you-know-what and giggles. It's another thing to then get the rest of the race right. There was a horse racing guy on Twitter who said, you know, I love the fact I'm catching grief. I picked the horses who finished 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th in the proper order, and everybody's telling me I don't know anything about horse
That's
racing.
That's right. Eddie Olchuk, who had a great day, had everything nailed but the winner.
Sure. Miller and Moulton. It was fun, though. It was exciting. It's why we watch sports. The whole you never know what's going to happen. This is why we watch. It's just awesome.
Absolutely awesome. And that led to a pretty good rest of the weekend because we've got a lot of series now in basketball and hockey, David.
Oh do we ever. Do we ever. And in a few cases when we didn't think we had one at all. Miller and Moulton. Top of the morning to you. Thanks for being with us. The Florida Sports Network.
Thanks for listening. And now, more of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes after the hour. Hope you had a great Mother's Day weekend and took care of the moms in your life. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. All right. Let's talk the F1 race in Miami. Did you see the scene at all?
I have to say, I turned it on right at 3 o'clock.
Race started at 3:30, darn near sharp.
And I've got dude from Sky Sports walking through the crowd.
Right. Man on the street.
And I literally turned it on as he basically introduced himself to someone and said, it was a pleasure meeting you. And I went, this is live television. And I watched 5 to 10 more minutes of that. And immediately said, there's got to be something else on television.
It was borderline unwatchable and yet spectacularly awful all at the same time.
And I didn't have that. I just had the awful.
You know, Mark, if you would have kept on watching a little bit more, I think you would have seen that same guy introduce himself to Paolo Banchero.
Thinking it was Patrick Mahomes.
He's like, what is your name, sir? I'm Paolo Banchero.
It's so cringeworthy, and yet I couldn't turn it off. I was tipped off to it. I wasn't watching when he began his, we call it man on the street in the business. Really, it was man in the parking lot. When he began his man in the parking lot, I wasn't watching. I got tipped off to, you got to turn this on. This guy doesn't know anybody.
Nobody. And I guess there's a it has to catch me at the certain point where I can deal with it. I had just gotten back from brunch.
Right.
You know, mom and my wife knocked down a bottle of Prosecco at brunch.
Okay.
You know, I got the daughter wanting nothing more than me to go swimming in the pool with her. And I'm like, can I just get the televisions on?
Right.
I just want to get these on. And with all that was going on right there at that moment.
You couldn't catch it.
I couldn't handle it.
Now, I got to say, the pictures were amazing. And for those that have been to Hard Rock Stadium, I don't know about you, but the whole time I kept going, this is really in the parking lot? They have put this together in the parking lot? This is amazing. You know how artists can see things and those of us who don't have the gene go, wow, you turned a blank piece of paper into that? That's how I kept looking at the parking lot, going, wait, where are we in the lot? Okay, what gate are we in front of?
How much do I have to pay to park here?
Exactly.
I don't see a handicap sign. Sorry.
So, but after I got over that, I'm going to tell you right now. Remember, it was a few weeks ago, you know, and we did the whole thing and people like, doesn't matter who the announcers are. Sky Sport is awful. I'm sorry. I thought it was awful. Never mind the fact I had trouble understanding the announcers. But, I mean, you got the guy who doesn't know anybody. Anybody! Anybody! Come on now! You're in America. American sport royalty is going to be there.
Might pay off to know a couple of them.
Yes. And if you don't...
Shouldn't there be someone in your ear telling you who it is?
Hand the gig over to someone else. Like they brought Danica on the pre-race coverage. Good. It was somebody we knew. She could talk about the drivers. She knew what she was talking about. I wanted her to have the microphone going through the crowd. She would have known everybody.
Well, at least he got Patrick Mahomes on.
Or Paolo Banchero. So, I made it a half an hour into the race. Because once Verstappen took the lead, about 15, 20 minutes into the race, it's follow the leader at that point. You know it's my biggest complaint with F1. It's not racing, it's driving.
But we had Luke Smith on Thursday or Friday.
Right.
And he thought the two straightaways would give them plenty of chances to pass. That was not the case.
Not really, no. 19 turns. Apparently the driver's not thrilled with the course. They tried to keep their grumbling to a minimum because they knew that this was a big deal and it was being so widely perceived and all that. So they didn't want to rain on anyone's parade. But there's stories that started coming out Saturday night in which the drivers were like, I don't know about this. I don't know. We may have to go back to the drawing board for next year. This may not be working. So I don't know how many of you stayed with the whole race. Don't know how many of you even gave it a shot. They're hoping it was at least the second highest rated F1 race in U.S. history. There was a Grand Prix of Monaco 20 years ago. Don't ask me the circumstances behind it. I'm guessing it had something to do with Michael Schumacher, but which apparently drew like 2.8 million people on ESPN, which is a monster rating. And they were hoping with this race on ABC that it would draw in the 2.5 million range and be the second highest rated one ever.
We shall see with the numbers. I'm sure they watched it in St. Pete and in Southwest Florida, where we get those numbers that are pretty big for the obscure events.
As Heidi's dad pointed out in our Twitch chat room, the guy walked right by D-Wade. I mean, come on. We're in Miami. It's D-Wade. I mean, next to Marino, how many people outrank D-Wade who are currently with us? You know, if Don Shula were still alive and what have you.
I'm with you.
I mean, outside of Marino.
He didn't know anybody.
No, nothing.
He was just introducing himself to people. He was talking to random people who had nothing to do with anything.
Right.
He saw a guy with a Ferrari shirt and started talking to him. The guy was trying to run away from him.
The Williams sisters did not stop for him either. They were like, oh, boy, I got this Yahoo. Man. So it was a beautiful scene. You know, all the stuff, how much the suites cost and seeing all the pretty people. You know, they had the shot apparently before the race. It was Michael Jordan. It was Tom Brady. It was David Beckham. And it was, you know, Lewis Hamilton there. And, I mean, first off, you know, they're all pretty people. They're all incredibly successful. You know, the caption, how many championships are in this photo? You know, great, cool stuff, awesome.
But when the race starts, it's follow the leader.
Well, I would love those of you who are F1 fans to explain to a couple of guys who are not big-time F1 fans what the appeal of the racing is, because there is very little passing in the racing. And that is where we kind of go, you know, like, we're all into the we love pageantry. You and I are big college football fans.
Oh, absolutely.
We love pageantry.
The whole day leading up to the race, we're in.
Oh, fantastic.
We can go have a few drinks and walk around with pretty people. We've done it before.
Yes.
We're out of place, but we've done it before.
Totally.
Well, the main appeal, I think, is that whenever something happens, it's crazy, but it doesn't happen often.
Well, you're darn right. It doesn't happen often.
Right, but that's like baseball.
Well, okay. It's a good point. It's a good point. You know, for the longest time, we weren't into soccer in this country. We didn't think there was enough scoring. Now, we're pretty into soccer. Now, I do think there's more scoring in soccer now than there was a generation ago, but...
The Premier League delivers a little more than the rest of the leagues from an offensive standpoint. But
for those of us that are used to NASCAR, say, or even IndyCar, I mean, in Formula One, I mean, they're saying it's a big deal because the guy who started third won the race. Because normally the winner comes from the pole. Well, how exciting is that?
Getting to that first turn is everything, Dave.
Apparently so. Apparently so. But so your thoughts on the F1 in Miami. First one. They're definitely going to have more, goodness knows. Miller and Moulton. The starting five is next. Thanks for waking up with us, Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton. Exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. 22 minutes before the hour. It was a fascinating Sunday, at the very least, in professional sports. We'll explain with
the starting five. Five stories you need to know. It's the starting five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
Mark, here's the fascinating part of the sports Sunday. Home sweet home. NHL, you had four home teams that were all trailing 2-1 in their series, desperate for a win. And they all got them. The Lightning. Oof. Stamkos scored a minute in. They led 3-0 after one. They led 5-0 5 minutes into the second. They whooped up on the Leafs 7-3. Series tied at 2. Boston. They came home down 2-0 to Carolina. Okay, they win game 3. It's tied 2-2 going to the third. They score 3 in the third. How about this game for Brad Marchand? 2 goals, 3 assists.
That'll play.
That's called leadership, folks. 5-2, Bruins over the Canes, series tied at 2. St. Louis down 2-1 to Minnesota, gets 2 goals each from David Perron and Jordan Kyrou. Jordan Binnington gets his first start of the playoffs, makes 28 saves. Blues 5-2 over the Wild, series tied at 2. And then after getting outscored 14-2 in games 2 and 3, the Kings get an early lead, and Jonathan Quick makes it stand up with 31 saves. Too early, too late for the Kings. Four spit over Edmonton. Series tied at two. Which is interesting because, Mark, the dynamic tonight in the NHL, we've got four games, but three road teams who were all favored to win the series are all down 2-1. Starting with the Panthers in Washington against the Caps. The Rangers are down 2-1 to the third-string goalie in the Penguins. And Calgary down 2-1 to Dallas. How many road teams you think get W's tonight?
Two.
Care to name them, or you're just playing percentages?
I'm not ready to name them yet.
That's fair enough. It's early. Colorado looks for the sweep in Nashville in the other game. NBA. Home teams down 2-1. Really needing a win, or else it's probably get ready for golf season. The Sixers fend off the Heat, 116-108. First time in Miami Heat playoff history that a player scores 40 and they lose. Jimmy Butler had the 40. But we had a James Harden sighting, 31 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Joel Embiid is a week away from becoming a Philadelphia sports legend. I don't think they have to win the championship. I don't even think they have to go to the finals.
But come back down 0-2, come back from injury and lead them to a series win against the one seed?
A concussion, a broken right orbital bone, and he's playing with a torn ligament on the thumb of his shooting hand. 24 points and 11 rebounds in game four for the big fella. They've tied things up with the Heat at two. Story of the game, and really so far the series, is whichever team makes their threes. Philly was 16 to 33 yesterday. The Heat were 7 to 35. The two games in Philly, the Sixers shot 49% from the arc. The Heat shot 22. The percentages were similar. Flip them when the games were in Miami. Mark, to me, the surprise, though, was Dallas taking two in a row from Phoenix.
I'm right there with you. I saw this possibly being a sweep.
And you know I liked the Mavs in Game 3, but I loved Phoenix yesterday. I would have been all over the Suns. Dallas led by 12 after one and basically kept the Suns at arm's length. Chris Paul had more fouls than points. Only played 23 minutes. Six fouls, 5 points. If you want to see some of the worst officiating in the history of the NBA.
No, don't go back to the end of Bucks-Celtics Game 3, although that could be discussed.
Wow. Woo, boy, did Boston get hosed. Take a look at the sixth foul on Chris Paul, in which he literally did not touch the guy because he had five fouls and he knew it. And he was behind the player and he's short. So he literally puts both his hands up before the guy goes up for the shot. And there's clear separation. There's no contact at all. He's a foot behind the guy with his hands up in the air. In the turtle position, if you will. Sixth foul, out of the game. Suns had already used their challenge. Couldn't challenge the call. Don't know if it would have made a difference. It was a 6 or 8 point game at the time. Luka, by the way, 26 points, 11 assists. Tonight, game four in Milwaukee. Bucks only a 1 point favorite against the Celtics. Milwaukee up 2-1. It looks like no Ja Morant for Memphis. Golden State's up 2-1 in the series, and they're a 10-point favorite. They beat them by 30 in game three, if you weren't paying attention. They scored over 140 points. Major League Baseball. Rays gave up one in the ninth, one in the 10th, lost to Seattle 2-1 and 10. They're two back of the Yankees, who split a twin bill with Texas. Torres a walk-off in game one. Texas won the nightcap 4-2. Marlins. Oh, man. They're up 2-0 in the ninth. Two outs, two on. Jorge Alfaro, who was a Marlin, was purchased in the offseason. Called his mom before the game. His mom said, "You're going to hit a homer. Be ready." He said, Mom, it's not that easy. She said, I know, but be ready. You're going to hit a homer. Two out, two on. Bottom of the ninth. First pitch he saw. Out of here.
Listen to your mother.
Padres 3-2 over the Marlins. Ouch. Mets split two with the Phillies. Max Scherzer lost. Between the Nats, the Dodgers, and the Mets, when Max Scherzer had pitched in like 27 consecutive games, his team had won the game. Until the first game yesterday, 3-2 Phils. Mets got two homers from Alonso and a 6-1 win in the nightcap. Their lead is 6 in the East, 7 over the Phillies. White Sox swept the series from the Red Sox, 3-2 the final. Boston's lost 6 in a row. They're 10-19.
Yes, they are.
Chris Sale suffered a setback. They had to put two more pitchers on the injured / COVID list. Let me tell you, I know it's early.
But it's getting late early?
This team went to the LCS last year. It was two games away from the World Series. And yeah. Did I mention they're in last?
They're behind the Orioles.
Thank you. Speaking of which, they split a doubleheader with Kansas City, losing 6-4, winning 4-2. The Braves took 2-3 from the Brewers, 9-2 the final. Don't worry about Milwaukee. They're 19-10 on the season. They have a 2.5-game lead in the Central. You are not going to believe this, ladies and gentlemen. The Cincinnati Reds won 2-3 from the Pirates.
Unbelievable. Where are you going to go? Apparently to the Reds games now. They're back.
Early nomination for poll question. What was more unlikely? 80-1 shot winning the Derby, the Reds winning a series?
Great question.
7-3 was the final yesterday over the Pirates. The Reds are still...
Go to WLW.com to answer.
The Reds are still a robust 5-23 on the season. 5-23. The Guardians, that's what they are, right?
Yes.
2-8, they beat the Jays 4-3. Astros swept the 4-game series from the Tigers, 5-0 the final. They just had a 7-0 homestand, did Houston. You know, that'll turn their season around. It's what they call a good week. The A's have lost 9 straight. So not only can't they get 3,000 people to go to their games, when they go on the road, they lose as well. 4-3 Twins over the A's. Minnesota's got a 3-game lead in the Central at 18-11. Giants got a homer from Mike Yastrzemski in the 6th to edge the Cardinals 4-3. Angels with 3 in the 9th rally to beat the Nats 5-4. LA's in first in the West by a half over Houston. I feel, you know, a month into the season, that's why I'm given kind of where people are in the standings.
Fair enough. I think that's good public service right there.
I mean, you know, opening day was April 7th, and I don't know how much people had paid attention in between April 7th and May 9th. Just thought I'd let you know. Here's what you've missed. You might sit out the next month also. I'll try to keep you updated. Dodgers beat the Cubs. Walker Buehler's 7 innings of 1-run ball.
That stat? Walker Buehler, that was his 100th start.
Yeah.
He's been favored in every start he's had in his career.
What?
Yeah. It popped up on the screen during the commercial break, and Felipe and I were like, that's a stat.
Damn. It's like he's pitching on a really good team or something.
Imagine that.
Arizona shut out Colorado 4-0. All right, racing. Max Verstappen wins the F1 Grand Prix of Miami. Here are the takeaways. Many drivers have called for changes to the track, which has 19 turns. I did not realize this. 24,000 tons of asphalt. It's almost 50,000 pounds of asphalt is what they used on that parking lot.
Now tear it up. We need to get the football stadium ready.
I was going to say. All right. Come in. Repaint the white lines. Apparently, the track is slippery. Coming into the pits apparently is dangerous. And you can't pass on the inside. There's no grip, according to the drivers. And the track's a little too narrow for their liking. On top of that, there's a couple of the turns that don't have foam barriers. Or concrete barriers. And it's a couple of the turns that are apparently the most dangerous where there were a couple of accidents. And the drivers who were in those accidents are like, that hurt. Can we do something about that? So some of the comments, there will be a year two, goodness knows. But that's some of the takeaways from the F1 Grand Prix in Miami. Did you see Joey Logano? How would you describe what he did to William Byron on the second to last lap of the Goodyear 400 in Darlington?
A little dirty.
So Byron kind of, I mean, it was a scene right out of Days of Thunder.
It really was.
I mean, you know, that Wheeler guy, you know, what was Wheeler's?
Rusty Wheeler.
Rusty Wheeler and Cole Trickle. You know, Rusty Wheeler, when he kind of took Trickle up into the wall there and he was scraping the wall. Well, that's what William Byron did to Joey Logano. And Logano basically said, if I get on his back bumper, I'm going to wreck them.
And he did.
And he did. In NASCAR, they call that he bumped his way to the lead. Most of the rest of us would go, no, he wrecked him. He put him right into the wall. And Joey Logano went on to win the Goodyear 400 and got booed in victory lane. But, you know, what, like NASCAR is going to take the win away from him?
Not a chance.
No. Golf, Max Homa picks up his fourth win, third in the last, like, 18 months. He won the Wells Fargo for a second time. He did so by two. Rory finished fifth. Man, if he could putt. He didn't make anything outside of 10 feet all day yesterday. I mean, I watched a decent amount of that tournament, which was a tough watch.
I'm sorry.
I know. NFL news, the Raiders fired team president Dan Ventrell. He claims it was retaliation for raising concerns about a hostile work environment by owner Mark Davis. The NFL immediately said, oh, we're going to look into that because we don't like him. We'd love to get rid of him. College football news, a good day for South Florida yesterday. They picked up former Baylor starting quarterback Jerry Bohannon. He had the second most touchdowns in the Big 12 last year. Lost his starting job, however, and picked South Florida amongst Missouri, Oklahoma, and a few other schools. He'll undoubtedly be the starter for the Bulls. It's a big pickup. By the way, Tampa Bay lost to Birmingham in the USFL, Mark. Birmingham's undefeated at 4-0.
Well, home field advantage means a lot in that league when only one team has it.
The very first game of the weekend was Philadelphia, Michigan. Michigan lined up for a 21-yard field goal in the final play of the game to win it. And Jeff Fisher's kicker clanked one off the left upright and lost 26-25. And that was
the starting five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
Did you just take joy in the fact that a Jeff Fisher team lost because of a missed field goal in the USFL?
I actually feel badly for him for that one.
You didn't sound like you felt
badly. No, I did. I mean, come on. 21-yard field goal. I mean, honestly, of the three of us, I think two of us would have made it. Professional kicker.
Miller and Moulton and the USFL right here on the Florida Sports Network.